6. So we're going to start reading. At one point in the worship, I was like, Lord, you sure you didn't give me the wrong message? There should be some fire in my message. Never mind. Okay, all the first three songs had fire in them. So I was thinking, Lord, did I get the wrong message because I don't have no fire in my, the word fire? But he said, there's plenty of fire in this message. So y'all go to Luke chapter 7. I'll tell you, sometimes as a preacher or a pastor, I struggle with preaching certain things because, like, I've been here going on 5 years now, and I think sometimes when I get, the Lord will drop something in my spirit and say, here's kind of where we're going to be. And the first thought of my mind is like, how many times have I preached that there? Amen? Y'all just stare at me like a calf looking at a new gate. It's okay. But I was sitting there just thinking to myself, I'm like, Lord, so all day Friday and part of the day Saturday, I just worked on a message that I thought, this is brand new. This will do good for 2021. This is perfect, Lord. Me and you, eventually you'll get on board with what I want. And, you know, and everybody will be happy because it'll be this brand new, fresh message, you know, that everybody wants a fresh word on New Year's. And God took me through. We went through a hike yesterday, the whole nine yards, and I'm sitting there going, all right, Lord, any time now you start dropping them spiritual bombs on that word that I want to preach tomorrow, nothing. We walked up to a waterfall that was so beautiful, and there was a rainbow over the top of it. I mean, it just shot right there. I took pictures, and the rainbow was in the picture. Y'all just stay with me. I'll be there eventually. Some of y'all look like y'all stayed out doing something a long time last night. Oh, whatever it is, you're going to have to get over it. But anyway, I walked up, I'm like, all right, here it is, revelation time. God's going to just, here it comes. No. Turned around, walked all the way back to the car. Then we went up, Steve Areno's got canceled. I was excited about Steve Areno's. Because Melissa's a smart person. She looks at the menu prior to going. And she had it all picked out. I'm like, oh, yeah, Steve Areno's. I'm ready. So when we get, I see Charlie pull into the bank, and he's like, no Steve Areno. So I'm already eating like, what is that, beef jerky? Because I don't know what's going to happen next. Charlie even said, look, Kevin's eating already. I'm like, you're right. But then we went up to, what is it, Top of the Rock? Is that right? Top of the Rock restaurant. And man, what an amazing view. You could see all the way through the valley of East Tennessee. And I'm like, wow. And it's pretty and it's neat and it's fancy and it's everything that we weren't, that I wasn't. I look like I've been hiking for 3 miles, and I did. So I'm sitting in this restaurant with all these fancy people, and I'm wanting to kill something because I'm hungry. But I walked out on this porch, and I looked, and I'm like, wow, what an amazing view. All right, Lord, download time. Let's get it. No. Rode all the way home thinking, yep, Lord. Get all the way home and get about an hour in of being home, and I realized I'm not ready to preach tomorrow. So I went back. I went all the way back. I started praying and said, all right, Lord, you gave me this one thought. He goes, yeah, why don't you go back and look at Luke chapter 7? I looked at it, and God said, there's the freshness. And I spent the next hour writing faster than my hand could write. And all those notes are somewhere else, but I don't preach from notes. I try not to because it makes me nervous. But I woke up in 2021, and I wanted everything to be different. Did you? Did you get up? Did you say the things out of your mouth like, thank God 2020 is over? And God said, things are not going to be different unless you do different. There's nothing. You know what? I woke up the next morning. I looked out. I live in the same place. I went to my closet, opened it, got the same clothes. A few new ones from Christmas. I looked at my bank account. Same disappointment. It's all the same. Same cars. Same stuff. Same pets. I thought, man, everything's going to be brand new. God says, you know what? Those things are not going to be new unless you put into them. Amen? So I gave you enough time to find Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And if you ain't found it by now, you need to repent. Or you should have went to the table of contents. And y'all going to be a tough crowd today, but I don't care. I've made my mind up before I come. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care how miserable you are. I don't care how you are. I'm going to preach anyway. I'm going to have a good time, regardless. Regardless. 7:36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, I'm going to slow down and read, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet and behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Verse 38 is where we're going to get the meat of our message at the very end. So make a mark right there. That's where our New Year's message is going to come from. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him and began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." I'm always amazed that Jesus, the first thing when I see this, I see everybody in the room. Everybody in the room is the same that's in this room. Pretty much. We look different. It's 2020 now, and back then it was 2,000 years earlier in a third world country, but the characters are the same. The first one always amazes me is a Pharisee. It's a religious man who looks good on the outside and says all the right things. We'll even mention Jesus every once in a while. And even wouldn't mind if Jesus would come by, as long as he don't mess stuff up. He's in the room with Jesus. He's trying to figure out how he can have everything that he wants to do without letting Jesus be in control. Religious people are the hardest people to deal with. Religious people who don't want Jesus. Because they've got a sense of religion. They've got a sense of rule. They got a sense of the way they want to do it. But they won't let the master have the wheel. And Jesus was in the room with a Pharisee. Every time I just don't understand it. Sometimes I wonder, have you ever been somewhere and you wonder, like, why did Jesus go there? It always amazes me. Every time I read it, the Pharisee said, "Will you come in?" I thought Jesus would say, "No, I don't want to come in there. I don't want to be with you." But you know what I found over the years? Jesus visits everybody. He does. He visits with everybody. He will even meet with you. You don't really want Jesus. You don't have no need for him at the time. You kind of like the name, and you make a profession every once in a while. If somebody ever nails you right down and asks you about, do you have Jesus, you say, yeah, but there's no evidence. And I tell you, but there's evidence. Even John the Baptist asks, he goes, "Where's your fruit of repentance?" Amen? Where's the evidence that you got saved? Amen? When you get saved, guess what? You are a new creature. Behold, I love that word. Behold, all things have become new. The word behold means don't tell everybody, just show it. Behold means look at it. Behold means take a look at my life and you can see whether I'm a believer or not. I think most religious people say, "Listen to me," instead of "watch me." Amen? Listen to what I say and don't watch a thing that I do. But he's in the house. I thought, man, that's amazing. He's in the house. And then all of a sudden, I've seen some people that are friends of Jesus. Amen? Some disciples even. There's some people in here, you're friends of Jesus and your disciples, or some disciples and some friends. Some of you are just saved and born again, and you're on your way to heaven, but you've never really connected with Jesus and let Him have every bit of your life, and you've never sat under anybody and said, hey, show me how to be a Christian. Give me the A to the Z to the Christianity. I don't know why I did that, but it was fun. I have no idea why I did that, but it was so fun to do. Do you have any of the A, the Z's? You know what? Sometimes, even as a pastor, I think, man, I'm going to tell somebody something about something that's going on in their life. And I think, man, why would I have to tell them that? If praise God, if I told them that, then that would kind of make them upset. But as a Christian, they should want to hear those kind of things, because those are the things that they're struggling in. Amen? But sometimes we like to be saved, but we don't like to be disciplined. We like to be in the family of God, but we don't want God to do anything with us or work us or change us or mold us or make us. We want a father. No, we want a dad. We want a grandfather. Some of you want granddad Jesus. Granddad God. Who just tells you you can eat whatever you want to, do whatever you want to, spend wherever you want to, go wherever you want to. Did y'all get mad because I say eat? I felt that in your spirit. I felt like some of y'all said, you mad about what I didn't mean it like that. Sorry. But I will spin my wheels right there. No, just kidding. We just want to behave any way we want to behave, and we want everything to be okay. But we didn't get that. God said, I'm your heavenly Father, and guess what? I'll correct you. I'll mold you and make you. So the friends of Jesus are in there, and they're good, but then the disciples are in there. So guess what? God's always working on them and molding them and making them and correcting them. They'll say stuff like, yes, you're Jesus. You're the Messiah. You're the only way to heaven. And then 2 minutes later when Jesus says, I'm going to the cross to die for your sins, let it be far from you. He'll look right at him and say, Satan, get behind me. I love that scripture, don't you? Peter is just like that. I feel like I'm that way sometimes. I'll say something great for God, and then 5 minutes later I'll say something stupid. And God has no problem correcting me. Amen? He has no problem putting me in my place. And you know what I have learned over time? I like it when God corrects me. It lets me know I have a father. But those friends and disciples, they're in the room. You're here. Amen? Some of you, sometimes you act like you're a frozen chosen, but you are. I can't wait till the day that God moves in here so heavy you can't help yourself. And you do stuff that you can't help. Amen? You shout a little, you cry a little, you run a little, you fall on the altar before God, you testify, you do some things, you say it's out of character, and you try to apologize to people. Man, I'm so sorry, I got out of control. I didn't really mean to do it. I know I screamed like I didn't really know that was in me. Used to, the church had some sounds and some actions in it that we don't do today because we're worried about how we look before people and not before God. Can I tell you this? This was in my spirit when I first walked in here. You can be cool, but guess what? Cool and Christianity don't always walk together. God will wreck your coolness. When you're trying to be cool and trying to show yourself strong and being so prideful and got your head up high, praise God, God will knock you on your back. And you'll be sitting there groveling and crying and making a scene. You ever got a whooping by your daddy? God, y'all. I got one day. You know, get them. And dads were awesome. I don't know if you had a dad. I had a dad in the 70s and 80s. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, he goes, if you don't stop that, I'm going to give you another whooping. You're like, I can't stop that. You broke me. Amen? That's the father way. That's the kind of stuff we got going on. That they're in the room. Amen. They're in the room. That's in the room. Man, there's a religious person there, don't love Jesus. There's somebody there. Guess what? There's a cool person there trying to be cool. Oh, I'm the coolest man in here. I'm the coolest guy in church. I'm the coolest girl in church. I don't care if you're cool or not. God will wreck your whole world. Make you uncool, and you'll love it. Amen? You'll love it. Then guess what? Then there's some sinners in the room. God. Sinners. Amen? Some sinners in the room. This one, she walks in the room. Man, she busts in. She was late. I was about to say all sinners are late. Oh. Anna's giving me that look. She said, 'cause I just got a small problem with waking up every morning. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, listen, hey, there's some sinners there. They got there late. They showed up to the thing late. They didn't dress correct. Nobody knew they was invited. They just showed up anyway. They came to the religious get-together. They just heard. They just showed up. Had nobody. Why are they here? And the religious person, first thing, if he was a prophet, he wouldn't let that girl touch him. Aren't you glad God will let you touch him no matter how jacked up you are? She walks in the room late. but she brought something, right? She walked in there and she's worshiping Jesus. She's like, I'm just glad to be here. I wish I had just a few every year. I wish I just had a few people in church who said, I don't belong here, but praise God, I am here, and you're going to have to deal with me because I don't belong here. And I was like, no, it'd be all right if every once in a while you'd just say, you know what? God let me in. I wasn't even supposed to be in the church. Some of y'all wonder why I'm so loud and so excited and I get tore up about God, because guess what? I'm not supposed to be here. The devil had a plan for me. It was a good plan, and it was a long-lasting plan. It went from generation to generation to generation. I was supposed to be dead and dying. I was supposed to be on the outside. But God, God worked through a stepmom for me. A stepmom. Not a mom, a stepmom. A stepmom pulled over on the side of the road and said, you know what, God? I'm sick and tired of living this lifestyle. You change me, and I'll walk for you, and I'll live for you, and I'll help my husband and these two knot-headed boys that are in my life, and I will change if you will let me change. I don't want to play Christianity anymore. I want to be a Christian. And she said, I don't want just a regular husband. I want a husband who's saved. I don't want a regular family. I want a saved family. I want a changed family. I want a light on fire God family. You know what? God said, I'll honor that. I'll change everything. He wrecked our whole family in a good way. He'll wreck your family too if you'll surrender it. If you'll say, I'm tired of, I don't want a husband who just goes to church. I want a husband in the church. I don't want just a wife who shows up at church. I want a wife who's in the body of Christ. I don't want kids who just go to church because they have to, and 18, they disappear. I want kids who burn brighter than me. I want kids who challenge me. I want somebody who's on fire with God. When they say something about the Bible, it seems like they know more than I do, and I have to step up my game. Man, they're doing something crazy. I remember hearing about this one guy. His daughter got saved. She was about 6 years old. And he came in her room and said, all right, we're going to work on this every night. We're going to pray together, okay? And we're going to pray. And he said, let's pray. And she got to pray. And he pray for the pastor, pray for the church, pray for the country, pray for this, pray for that. And God, the next night he goes, come in there. Here in a couple of days, we're going to change this up. Now, we're going to do something different about a week, but I'm going to get you started every hour. Look in and pray. So all of a sudden, the week went by. Work on that prayer every night right before they go to bed. So one night he said, you know what? I'm going to let her go solo. God will let you go solo, right? So he comes by, and he hears his daughter in there. A, B, C, D, E, F. Singing the alphabet. He's like, it's prayer time. And she's in there singing the alphabet. I'll give her one more shot. Went to bed. Next night, come to the door. He thought about going in. You know how dads are. Thought about going in there and just getting all the, what in the world? There she was, singing the alphabet. A, B, C, D. I don't know how to sing the alphabet song, sorry. Third night, he lost it. That's it. That's it. Walks in the door. What are you doing in here? I told you we were praying. You're supposed to be a believer. You said you got saved. And here you are every night for the last 3 nights singing the alphabet. She said, I'm praying through the alphabet. All the people I can think of about A, I pray about that. Everything that has a letter A, I pray about that. Everything that has the B, I pray about that. Every person I know that has a B name, I pray about that. That's what I've been doing every night since you let me go. I figured that would get more people involved in my prayer. It's a bigger, better prayer than you gave me, Dad. I just wanted to expound on what you started showing me. And he kind of slumped and walked out of the room and said, man, I need to get better at my praying. I need to up my game. Because I got a daughter in my room thinking on different levels about Jesus than I was. Ain't that funny how we do that? We want people to fit in our little box and our little container and our little church. We want them to do what we want to do. But praise God, God's got some people in here that are going to be evangelists and missionaries and preachers and teachers. And they're going to go places and do things that you never even imagined. And it's going to scare you to death because you thought it was radical just to show up at church on Sunday during a pandemic. I threw that in there. I'm sorry. I'll apologize a little. I thought about who else is in the room. This is the coolest person. The best person in the room is Jesus. Jesus is so cool. He comes in the room and he sits down and he looks at, he hears everything and he sees everything and he looks over at Peter and he says, hey, he said, hey, guess what? He goes, there were two debtors. I've been preaching this my whole life. I've been preaching this ever since I've been preaching. I thought, man, I got this down pat, God. This is not fresh. It's not new. He goes, oh, yes, it is. I'm going to show you something different. He goes, there were two debtors. One owed 500, one owed 50. You know what I realized? There's only two people in the room. There's only two people. There's the person who's lending, and the person who's borrowing. There's the person who has everything, and there's the people who have nothing. Jesus is the only one in the room. This is a creditor. If you don't get this, man, you're going to have a hard life. Everybody in the room was a debtor except Jesus. He's the creditor. He walked in the room and he said, there's not one of you in this room that can pay the debt. None of you. I hate to tell you, there's only two people in this room. Amen? The saved and the unsaved. You're either a debtor or you've got the debt paid. Amen? Because Jesus said, some owe this and some owe that. What he was saying is everybody in this room owed a debt that they couldn't pay. Everybody. He said, but there's one person in here that probably loves me more than anybody. And she showed up with something. And that's where God gave me the message for 2021 and the church at Flat Top. This message is for you. If you're watching this on the internet, if you're sitting in this or you listen to this down the road on the internet, on the website, then guess what? This message is for you. God told me to tell you. This is to challenge you as a believer and a member of this church. If you are not a member of this church, then this is not for you, maybe. Or you should join and let it be a part for you. Amen? If you are a member of this church, I hate saying stuff like this. If you are a member of this church and any of this right here offends you, go find a church that you want to get a part of and want to sow into and be a part of with everything that you got and be a part of that. We'll pray for you and we'll love you and we'll encourage you. But if you're a part of this church, be a real part of it. Amen? Be a real part of it. And this is what God showed me in verse 38. And she stood at his feet. She showed up. You got to bring yourself. The whole title of this message is Bring It. In 2021, Jesus is already saved. He's already died. He's already forgiven those that need to be forgiven. If you want to get saved, you can get saved anytime you want to. But guess what? Jesus told me in 2021, Kevin, bring it. And I'm like, bring it? Okay. He goes, yeah, if you want a different walk with me and a different church and a different ministry, then you need to bring some stuff. I've done everything you can. I've given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've saved you. Amen. I've died for you. Bring it. What's the first thing you can bring? You. Bring you. I know it's 2021, it's still the COVID going on, but listen, you can be important in other people's life. You have a cell phone, you've got a text message, you've got Facebook, you've got social media, praise God. Guess what? Call somebody, text somebody, video somebody. Listen, right, dude, oh man, heaven forbid, send them a card, send them a letter, drive by with a poster, just say, put a big heart on it, they'll get the message. It's simple, show up. God's telling me, guess what, Kevin? You want to do more. You want to be more in 2021. I want to bring it in 2021. I want to be present. Some of y'all need to say, you know what? I'm going to show up. You know what? As a pastor, man, I want to act like I've never preached here. But as a pastor, there's only one kind of person that usually makes appointments with me. This week's going to change probably. People make an appointment when they come to me and they tell me two things. This is why I'm leaving or this is why I would leave. That's what I get. The last 5 years, I get somebody said, can I get an appointment with you? This is why I'm leaving. Or this is why I might leave. And I'm like, you know what? I've never had anybody make an appointment with me and come in there and say, you know what? No matter what, I ain't leaving. I ain't leaving until God tells me to go. I ain't leaving until the Holy Spirit of God says, it's time for you to go. I'm going to hang in here like a hair in a biscuit, and I'm going to do what's right. I know that hurt a lot of people, and I'm sorry. I heard it once, and it sounded cool, but it didn't sound good tonight. So show up. She stood at his feet, weeping. She gave her tears. She gave her tears. There's only two times you cry, really. When you're upset or when you're happy. Real happy. He wants your joy, and he wants your brokenness. He wants your joy when you're overjoyed and when you get everything that you want and you're blessed beyond measure. He wants that too. Some folks only want to show up. They want to only praise God when everything's going bad. When you get everything you wanted, when it goes your way, praise God with tears. When it don't go your way, when you don't get the result that you think you got, when you think it didn't go your way, when you think God's failed you, when you think he's not there, when you think it ain't going to work out, praise God, he wants those tears too. He wants the brokenness and the joy. He wants your tears. Amen. She brought more. She brought herself and she brought her tears. I love this next part. Whew. And she did wipe them with the hairs of her head. She brought her glory and her pride and her honor to Jesus. Some of y'all, some of me, Kevin Shelton needs to do that. We need to bring our pride to Jesus. We need to bring our honor and our glory to Jesus. We need to bring it. She said, you know what? This is what makes me glory. This is my hair. It's beautiful. It's what? She said, I will take it and I will mar it and mess it. I will put it with tears and dirt and mud of the Savior's feet and I will look gross for God. Some of us need to look gross for God in 2021. We need to get dirty. We need to get ugly. We need to get into places that we don't want to get into because you know what? That's where all the people that need to be saved are. You say, well, what if it's about me and I'm broken? I got to be, you know what? Saved people, they forget sometimes what God's done in their life and where they came from. And we get to a place where we don't have to weep anymore. We don't have to praise anymore. We don't have to shout anymore. Praise God. I don't want to ever get there. I don't want to get there. I want to take my pride, my stiff necked, and I want to let it be bent for God. I don't want to get to a place where I'm like, nothing moves me. No song moves me. No worship moves me. No word moves me. When I get to that place, we need to stay on the altar till God shows up. Amen. We need to take our pride. See, she didn't have to do this. She wasn't made to do this. She did it because you know what she said? I don't have any other tools. I'll use what God's given me. Some of y'all are going, well, when I get this way or when I get that better and I get a little older, when I get a little younger, yeah, guess what? It ain't going to matter. You give what you have to God right now. Give everything you have. She gave us her glory. Here's the next part. This is going to be hard for some of you because it was hard for me. And kissed his feet. And she kissed his feet. She took her lips and gave them to God. But it's deeper than that because out of the mouth proceeds the heart. Amen? God wants your words. Some of y'all look so spiritual. God wants your words. He also wants your heart. So when he changes your heart, you'll give him better words, sweeter words, kinder words, forgiving words. Loving words. Some of y'all are bitter, angry, mad, upset, hurt, and all you can talk about is how this went wrong and that went wrong and this one hurt me and that did this and that left me. No, no. Why don't you let God change your heart and let him change your lips? He wants a better you in 2021. Stop running the church down. Stop running the people down. Stop running the people that you're supposed to love down. Guess what? Start lifting them up in prayer. I love the old song. I had a pastor one time. He was a great man of God. You know what he'd always say? If you got a problem with me, if you got an issue with me, you need to go tell Jesus on me. If you got a real problem with me and you don't think I'm doing anything right and you think I need to go here or go there, just do me a favor. Go tell Jesus. Lock yourself in a closet and just wear me out because God will do what's right. If you got a problem with somebody in church, go get Jesus. Just wear them out. Just go in there and get in that prayer closet. Get in that place of silence. Don't tell your friend. Don't tell everybody. Don't try to give everybody on your side. Don't tell your side of the story. Get along with God and you tell him and you just wear them out. But I guarantee you're going to be really, really changed because when you get in there and you start wearing them out, God will do something. It's amazing. It's really cool what he does. He'll just put this little mirror right in front of you. And he'll say, here's my biggest problem with the persons involved. I can change them, but I'm having a hard time changing you. I want God to have my lips in 2021. I want to marinate stuff in here before it comes out of here. I don't want to say things that Kevin wants to say and God don't want to say them. I don't want to say, like, we're not going to make it. I want to say God's in control. And if we wait on God, he's never failed us. He's never forsaken us. I think he'll be faithful. And this is the last part. God put this in there. And if you got a problem with this, be mad at God. You can be mad at me too, but mostly God, okay? And she anointed his feet with anointment. Before she left, wherever she was dwelling, she said, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to give to Jesus my very best. I'm going to give him my pride. I'm going to give him my lips. I'm going to give him my worship. I'm going to give him my joy and my brokenness. But God has given me one valuable thing. It's worth money. And I love it. It's precious to me. But I don't want to go to God empty-handed. I don't want to go down to God and worship God and take all the things of God and be around my Savior and be around the one who loved me when nobody else loved me and died for me when nobody else died for me and not give Him anything. In 2021, you need to bring your finances to the house of God. You need to bring a tithe to the house of God, an offering to the house of God. You need to start giving to God and the things of God. You need to say, God, You've blessed me. I want to bless You back. You've given me the ability to have a job, a family, a home, and clothes. The least I can do is give back to You. And if this burdens your flesh, I'm sorry, but let me tell you something. It's a biblical thing to give back to God. It's a biblical thing to say, you know what? I eat here, I play here, I enjoy here, I have fellowship here. It's worth tying into. It's worth giving my money to. It's worth investing into because they're investing in me. I want you to know when you come in this building, the air is always running or the heat's on. The lights are on. Everything works here. It's comfortable here. It's clean here. There's toilet paper here. There's everything you need here. And guess what? There's people working here. There's people serving here. And you know what? You should say, you know what? They do so much for me, I'm going to give a little bit to God. And you know what? I hate to tell you this. God will bless you beyond measure. I was blessed this week from a little old family. I know they probably won't. I'm not going to say their name. But they haven't been able to come to church here for almost 2 years, off and on. Wife has been so sick, almost unto death, for the whole time I've been here. They've been shut in their home since March. They called me. I need to come by and give my tithes this week. I'm like, I'll be at the office if you need to stop by. He stopped by, and there was a check for every month they've been out of church. 40-something checks to the Lord. And they can't even hardly make it to the house of God. But they say, we're members here, and we want to be a part of this. We love God and we know He loves us and our names are on the roll there. We want to give to the Lord. I was blown away. Not about the money, not about the number. It was just the fact that somebody said every month, I can't make it, but praise God, I'm a part of it. I can't be there every time, but I'm a part of it. My wife can't make it, but praise God, we're going to be a part of it. Praise God, let me ask you this. Has the church given anything to you? Has the Lord blessed you here? If He has, be a blessing to Him. We want to get in that new building. We want to do things in this community, but we can't do it without you. That's a hard message in 2021. But I want you to hear the truth. God's given you salvation. He's given you eternal life. He's given you a place to worship. All He asks you to do is bring it. Just bring it. And He'll bless it. Let's all stand as they come get us on.